So what the title for today's sermon, I would like to call it the intercession prayer. In Luke 11, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. That was one of the disciples. He's seen Jesus praying. And one of his impulses was, and I believe it came from his heart after he's seen Jesus pray, it was a desire that he would know how to pray. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Lord, teach us to pray. Prayer is a conversation we have with God. We can speak to God, and He speaks to us. I was looking at a few of the history of revivals that have happened in the country. There's many revivals we can read of that have been that have affected and been tremendously powerful. And I'm not aware of one of those revivals that has taken place where it hasn't started with prayer. Prayer was one of the first things that has taken place that a revival did happen. And 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and will heal their land. I think society is at a time of spiritual and moral decline. Okay, we can say when we can read history and we can see that there has been times in our history that there has been tremendous evil taking place. But I believe today in our given time, we don't have other reference in what we can read, but what we're living in today, we can witness the impact that the devil has on not only in society, but how the devil tries to impact and influence our Christian life today. And I think one of the things that we need to be very, very much aware of today is prayer is a very essential, it is the bedrock of what you can base your Christian life on. It is a prayer. And I want to speak on prayer this morning because I think in my life, prayer hasn't meant enough in my life. And I've been wondering and I've been trying to come to grips with some of the things that I've faced in my life. And I wonder sometimes is, how can I navigate through something? Through a situation, how can I navigate through it? And I try to logically try to reason my way through a situation. And I think I don't know about yourself, but I try to human reason with it. And I don't think that's what God is asking us to do today. I think what God is asking us to do is to come to Him on our knees. And we need to acknowledge our inability to sort some of these things out. We can't do that on our own. And I feel very convicted this morning. And that's why I want to speak about it. And my prayer is this morning that you will be able to follow me through kind of my journey in my life. And in Jeremiah 6:16, God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, and God said, stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. And what I gather from what God was telling Jeremiah when he was to speak to the people, God was trying to bring an awareness that sometimes in our Christian life, we can become very complacent. And we go on with our daily routine of life. And things are just happening the way they happen. And I want us to, each one of us, examine our life. And I want us to examine what our prayer life is this morning. And that's something you can do, you between you and God. Many of us, we live very busy lives. Every hour we claim time gets claimed for us to speak to someone. We are busy visiting with our neighbors. We're busy visiting with our friends. We visiting with our church community. We're busy studying, and we can put anything in it. We're busy. We're just a busy people, and we get absorbed in many duties, and we're in danger of minimizing the sacred and the important duty of prayer. We acknowledge the importance of prayer, but we struggle in actually putting this conviction to practice. And this is me speaking for myself. We know that we ought to pray more than we do, but we fall short of actually doing it. The same person, Martin Luther, once lamented that every time he tried to pray, it was as if 100,000 hindrances at once intervened, and the devil himself attempted to throw all sorts of reason for delay into his path to keep him from praying. And that's the same man that at one point later on in his life, he said, I got so much to do today. I got to spend at least 3 hours of prayer before I can start my day. That's the same individual. And I want this morning for us, instead of saying we got so much things to do, we got so many good things to do, like a lot of these things that we're busy with, there are good things. I'm not degrading the things that we're doing. I want us to think of, like Martin Luther said, I'm so busy, my schedule is so crammed, packed, I'm going to first start my day off and spending a good amount of time praying to our Heavenly Father. I too often find it difficult to overcome hindrances that arise in my schedule or in my prayer life. And that keep me from praying. Sometimes it feels like, I don't know how many of you have gone camping, and you know these sleeping bags that you can buy at Walmart or Canadian Tire? For some reason, they always put a really, really small outside bag on it. And you try to, you when you purchase this bag, you take it home, or you go on your first camping trip, and everything fits in nice. There's a little bit of extra room. And by the time you're done camping, you try to wrap up that sleeping bag in it, you can hardly fit it in that bag. You cram it, and you kind of stick it in there, and the thing is bulging. You wonder how that zipper is going to keep it shut. And you know, that's what the devil tries to throw into our life, kind of that, a situation like that. He tries to bring everything else into our life that will eliminate us from spending time with God. Because one of the things that the devil realizes is that prayer is your key to victory. Prayer is vital for in your Christian walk? Prayer is an anchor. It is a God-given guard. Prayer is power. Paul exhorts the Thessalonians in chapter 5, 17 to 18. He says, to pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God, to pray with thanksgiving. And I know all of us want to live in God's will. And to the Colossians, he wrote in chapter 4, verse 2, he says, continue steadfast in prayer, be devoted, watch therein with thanksgiving. That's what Paul is writing. And if you care to, you can turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 18. You can have hopes, you can have dreams, you can have ambitions. Without prayer, many of these hopes, dreams, and ambitions are going to be in an impossibility. And sometimes we say, well, what can I do in a situation I'm in? What can I do? Some of us, we look at a situation and I look at it and I go like, how are we going to handle this? But one of the things is none of us can give the excuse that we are without resources. All of us have the resource to pray. And prayer is fundamental. It is the bedrock. Prayer is it is a powerful blessing. As a Christian, you have the privilege to be able to pray. Let's read Ephesians 6, 18. Ephesians 6, 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I had to think of the question I was asked in Sunday school. What would prepare a person, like you look at Paul, what could prepare Paul for the situation he was in, given that three individuals, they recognized Paul. Peter. Recognized Peter as being one of Jesus' disciples. What can prepare us for a situation today? And I just had to think of turning back. We're not going to read these verses, but you read chapter 6 of Ephesians, and you read starting at verse 1 as well, but verse 10, and it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, and it talks about the effects that the devil, what Paul is doing here is he's bringing an awareness to your life that the devil is going to try to work his way, wiggle his way into your life. And it talks about the devil, he's very strategic in, he knows you and he tries to work around you and tries to wiggle his way in ways that you might think you're able to stand. But he knows your weaknesses. And if you read through that, I think these are some of the ways that we can prepare ourselves. And anyway, Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. So praying always with all prayer. So there's many different types of prayers. And there's prayers used in the scripture. We can look through a lot of the different ones. And different prayers will help us through many different situations in life. But I want to look at, before we're going to look at a few of those prayers, I want to look at three aspects in this verse 18. It says, pray always with all prayer and supplication. It doesn't say just pray, but it says, in the Spirit, praying always with all prayer. So that's all different types of prayer, but it says to do that in the Spirit. And one of the things is for us, if we want to pray in the Spirit, is we need to admit our inability to pray as we ought to, with our tendency to pray, maybe pray in our own way, in our wanting the prayer to turn out the way we want it to do. Secondly, the second aspect is enjoying the Creator, the creation of a living communion with God. We need to understand that when we pray, we are communing with God. We're not forcing God's hand. We are not forcing Him to do anything that is not in His will. It is a conversation we're having with God. We are speaking to God. We're relating to Him. And as well, like what Samuel said after he heard this voice, and Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And that is one of the aspects that we need to understand if we want to pray in the Spirit. Thirdly, is pleading the promise of God with boldness and assurance. We need to believe, we need to trust, and we have to have faith in God. Not demanding something from God, not claiming something from God, but let your requests be made known to God. And I think one of the things that I have to think about, and I have, in the last couple of years, God has really spoke to me, and that is the, when the Spirit speaks to you and is asking you to pray for someone. I'll give you a little illustration. Is a couple years ago, before my dad passed away, I knew it was really heavy on his heart, and I was a praying man. I prayed. I remember he called me the day before he was heading up towards surgery. He called me, and I could tell there was something really heavy on his heart, like as if he wanted to say something, but he did not say it. And the Spirit prompted me, and He said, "Pray with your dad on the phone. Pray with your dad on the phone." I remember right where I was at. I was on the front steps at our place. I didn't pray with my dad. I never did. And that's a regret I live with. Do we quench the Spirit? And that's what it's talking about here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When God prompts you, and I'm very happy to say today that I've learned from that experience that when I have the feeling, or when the Spirit is prompting me to pray for an individual, if it is a young fellow or a man my mom or another lady in the church that needs a prayer, if I feel the Spirit asking me to pray, I think it's our duty as Christians to ask that individual, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" That is our obligation, and it's a privilege to take time out of our day and to pray for someone. Don't quench the Spirit when He's prompting you to pray for someone. And here in Ephesians, it talks about, it says to praying always with all prayer. So we can look at the different, there's a lot of different, more different prayers that the scriptures referencing to. But one of the prayers is an adoration prayer. And that is a prayer that is praising God for who He is. And it's a prayer that we pray to God. It takes a focus off of ourselves. And takes a focus off of what we're involved in our situation that we are, but it is an adoration prayer. It's a prayer where we focus on God, we praise God, we exalt God. Like Psalm 99 verse 5 says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy." That is adoration. It takes a focus off of us. It puts it on God. Next prayer is lament prayer. God wants us to bring our fears, doubts, and despair to him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Okay, I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Here it says, pray always with all prayer. It's not, we're not just focusing on one individual. There's different situations that you're in. We pray different prayer. And then there's the prayer of thanksgiving. A thanksgiving prayer is praising God for what he has done. And one of the things that we can thank God, a thanksgiving prayer, we can thank God for the family he has provided us with, the children that God has given us, the wife that God has given us. Maybe it's a relationship, maybe you're courting someone, something that you can be thankful to God for, that he has put some other individual into your life. Maybe it is a job, an opportunity that has come up in your life, and you took that opportunity, and this is, it's an open door to you. It's something you've always wanted to do, and it has presented itself, and that is and you can thank God for opening that door. That's a thanksgiving prayer. But most of all, we want to be this morning, we want to thank God for sending his son, that we can have a new life, that he saved us from sin. And that is a prayer of thanksgiving. Then another prayer that we can look at is petition prayer. It is one of the prayers that we most commonly pray on Wednesday nights when we get together for prayer meeting, or sometimes when we at home, what we pray is a petition prayer. It is the one that we ask God for something for ourselves or maybe for someone else. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants to know. And another prayer I want to look at is contrition prayer. And that is a prayer, a desire to repent of sin, asking God for forgiveness for things we have done, and a want to reconnect with him as our forgiving Heavenly Father. Like Psalms 51:10-12 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And the prayer that we want to focus on this morning is an intercession prayer. It's one where you intercede on the behalf of someone else. It is a prayer for others. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 12. First Samuel 12:22-25. And this is Samuel addressing the people that were gathering together to celebrate Saul as their king. 1 Samuel 12:22-25. And this is what Samuel says. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good in the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both you and your king. What did Saul call it if he did not pray for someone else, if he wasn't interceding for someone else? Can somebody pick that out? It was a sin for him, For Samuel, it was a sin against God if he did not take the time to intercede on the behalf of someone else. Samuel understood the power of an intercessory prayer, and he considered it a sin if he stopped interceding for the people of Israel. That's pretty serious. That is very serious. And I think what Samuel is saying here is he wanted to, and I believe this is our prayer this morning, is we need to persevere and plead with God on behalf of another. And when we see that someone else desperately needs God's intervention in their life, we need to take the time to pray. We need to intercede on the behalf of someone else. There is a story it took place many years ago. And I want to read a story of William Tyndale. And that is the... anyway, I'll read the story. And this is an intercession prayer that William Tyndale had. An incident in the English history illustrates the intercessory prayer. Henry VIII was king of England. William Tyndale, a scholar, wished to translate the Greek New Testament into English so that the English people could have God's word in their own tongue. The king and the church alike refused to allow such a translation. There was not a spot in England where Tyndale was safe to carry out his project, so he went to the continent. There he labored under stress and difficulties. He made his translation. He sent it over to England. The authorities burnt it. Still, he kept at his work, perfecting the translation. Enemies dogged his footsteps. He was deceived, betrayed, imprisoned, and at last burnt to death. His dying words were a prayer of intercession. And this is a prayer that he prayed. O Lord, open the King of England's eyes. That was his prayer. That was his dying prayer. O Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Little did it seem as though that prayer would be answered. The king was set against the circulation of the Bible, and there was no indication whatever that he would change his mind. But that true prayer of intercession had been offered. All unselfishly, Tyndale had prayed that the king's eyes might be so open that he would see what a blessing the English Bible would be to the English people, and would desire the people to have that Bible. The prayer was answered. In a little time, Henry VIII saw the Bible as an entirely new light. Instead of persecuting those who favored its translation, he helped them. He gave him his royal sanctions to the issue of the Bible. The English translation, which is in our hands today, proclaim whenever we read it, that the prayer of intercession prevails. The English Bible is a witness to the power of an intercessory prayer. Isn't that amazing? O Lord, open the King of England's eyes. The effects of praying for someone else, praying on the behalf of someone else. Turn with me to Luke 22. This is another account in our Sunday school lesson. I find it really interesting how often the devotional, the Sunday school lesson, and the message, how it tends to flow in. I think that's God working. In Luke 22, 31 to 32. Where are we at here? Luke 22, 31. And I find this really interesting. This is Luke's account of what happened in Peter's denial that we read in John this morning. And here it says in 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." See, and that is what happened before in our Sunday school lesson that we talked about, how Peter denied Christ when he was asked, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And this is what happened before the denial took place. So Peter, he had no thought in himself that he actually needed this prayer that Jesus prayed. He could not see himself that he would even be exposed to that temptation of denying Jesus. At this given time, Jesus said, "I prayed for you." The devil, Satan, is desiring to have you, and he's going to try you. But at this given time, if you would have asked Peter, and Peter says, and we know the story, Peter says, "I will never deny you. I'll die for you." That is why an intercessory prayer is so vital for someone else. Christ foresaw the whole picture. And Christ, he knew what was going to take place. And Jesus prayed for him. And when the temptation came and Peter did deny him, Peter did not utterly fail completely. He did not. Yes, he denied Christ. But this is the most beautiful thing that I believe is in verse 62. And this is the prayer. This is because of the prayer that Jesus prayed. Verse 62. "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." After he had realized what had taken place, his heart melted. And that's because of the prayer that Jesus prayed. "The devil is going to tempt you, Peter, but I have prayed for you." So can you imagine if you took the time to pray for someone and that individual shared with you something in their life that maybe it's a relationship thing that they're just sorting out, or whatever the situation may be. That when you tell that individual that I'm praying for you, what do you think goes through that individual's mind when he or she is faced with dealing with their relationship thing, that their situation? What do you think goes to their mind? Do you think it would be the same thing like Peter, where if they are tempted, that their heart will melt and say, "God, this is your situation"? We don't know the effects of what your prayer will have on someone else. And in the New Testament, there's many examples of people interceding for someone else. In Mark 22, Jairus, he pled with Jesus on behalf of his daughter. Mark 10, there was a number of mothers that came over to Jesus and asked Jesus to bless the children. And in Acts 12, the church in Jerusalem, they gathered together to pray for Peter's release from prison. And we know what happened. God answered that. Philippians 1, 9. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. Philippians 1, 9-11. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound even more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Here Peter Paul, here in Philippians, he is praying on behalf, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more." Paul was saying, "I am praying for your Christian growth, that you will just become more and more involved in loving Christ more, and that you can gain a better understanding of who God is, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." That they will remain faithful in Christ. And that's what Paul was praying on behalf of the people of here in Philippians. You may ask yourself today, it says, "For whom can I say a prayer today? For whom can I say a prayer tomorrow? For who can I say a prayer for someone for their future?" There's many worthy people asking themselves, "What more can I do to advance the good of the world?" They give themselves to every kind of great calling, great enterprise. They feed the hungry. They build orphanages. They nurse the sick. They preach the word of God. They provide safe places. They help someone through a difficult situation, all under the inspiration of Christian love. And they do it all for Christ. And I say, let none of us be relaxed in the things that we're doing. And I would say, let a thousand more things be added to the many opportunities that arise. Let's be ready to be there. But the question I ask is, how much time do I spend in interceding with God for the advance of his work? We can sometimes almost go ahead and do a lot of these things, which are a great thing to do, and God is honored and God is glorified. But where am I at in interceding for the advance of God's work? When we see people in sorrow, and we see them we kind of look and we see the thoughtlessness that went into the decisions that are being made, and we see them, and kind of how Lot did. You know, Lot exposed his children, brought his children closer and closer, till next thing you know, Lot was in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know the influence that that city had on the children. What do we do in a situation like that? We may silently lift our hearts to God for them. Intercede that God may open their eyes, or that God would intervene. There's many things. We are not without resources. A prayer may be unobserved by anyone else around you, but the divine eye of God, to him, it is a direct prayer. When we see a person, a brother or a sister, and they request prayer on behalf of things that they're going through, or through they ask for strength that they would be able to persevere in their faith in the midst of hardships, one of the questions I want to ask myself this morning is, when we see that, why wait to pray? God can use you and me to show his power to an individual if we pray in the act of faith and out of love for that individual. And intercession for someone is not just something we do once, but it is something, it's an ongoing experience. We need to be persistently seeking God's will for someone. And I want to encourage all of us here this morning, when you know someone is faced with hardships, it's very easy for us to put our hand on his or her shoulder and say, I'll be praying for you. But what is preventing us to take that time right then and there to put our hands on their shoulder or wrap our arms around them and to pray for them at that given time? Why wait? You might not have that opportunity again to pray for that individual. If that individual can hear you pray, interceding on their behalf for their situation, the effects of that, God can work, God can intervene. Hebrews 10. This is a couple more verses we want to look at. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and in so much more the time as you see the day approaching. When someone is in need, it's important we are prepared to help them by praying for them with them. We tend to sometimes think we're unqualified or unworthy, but when we raise our voice up to Christ and we pray together, we will be strengthened. It's not only for that individual that we're praying for, but it is for yourself as well. And here in verse 24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And that is one way we can provoke, we can motivate, we can stimulate, we can praying together and exhorting and encouraging one another is through praying for each other. And I want to close with Romans 8. Romans 8, 26 to 27. And this can be, and this I want each one of you that is maybe feeling this morning, you're feeling unheard. You're maybe feeling that someone is not understanding your situation. Or maybe you're thinking that, how does God hear or how does God understand where I'm at in life? And I want this to be your prayer today, is likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Even if you are praying today and you don't know what to say in your situation, here it says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Take that with you this morning. Sometimes we can't put words into a prayer, but God knows, God understands. And I was actually going to close with Romans 8, but I'll just read one more verse. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That is my prayer this morning. May God bless each one of you.